I want this morning for us to think of the very familiar words that we have read there in the book of Ruth. I want us to think of her commitment that she makes when she and Naomi are discussing the way ahead and where she will go. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou goest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And particularly we can fit what we've got here this morning into the series that we've had over these past summer weeks of a question, a very simple question to be asked in our morning services. A very simple question that goes to the very heart of our spiritual state and standing. And that question this morning is found in verse 10 and verse 11. Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me?" Why are you going with me? Here we have the older Christian asking the young follower, why will you go with me? Obstacles and barriers are placed in her way to test her resolve, to give her the opportunity to demonstrate her commitment, and to express her dedication and devotion to follow the Lord. Here we have then a little bit of prying and testing by Naomi. Trying and testing of the spiritual state of Ruth. Why will you go with me? An opportunity to speak up or to go back. And that's what Ruth did. And Orpah, she went back. She went back to her own people. A deep, a simple, and a real faith from Ruth. There are many lessons that we can get out of this. There are many examples there for us to follow. And especially these words which so often come to us of Ruth's confession and her commitment, not only to Naomi, but more importantly, to her Lord and to her God. The background to the lives of these two women, we try to explain in a little measure already. There was, as we said, setting of the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, there were times of blessing, but they didn't last long because the people were constantly going back to their sin and they were brought down again into difficulties, into opposition, into troubles with the surrounding nations. And the Lord God brings again a deliverer, one of the judges, to set them free. There's that constant cycle in the book of Judges. They don't learn. And things were getting worse with each turn of the wheel. They were going lower and lower spiritually. And that's the setting for this book of Ruth. And particularly here in the very first verse, we have an indication of where that's going to. There was a famine in the land. This was God's judgment upon them for the perversity of what they were doing. Things were not going well. And here we have Naomi and Elimelech suffering in that famine. So what do they decide to go to do? As a family, they decide to go to Moab. They do it without any kind of spiritual consultation. They do it without any kind of spiritual preparation. We're given no indication whatsoever of them asking God's guidance or bringing their position before God in prayer. They simply look at their own interests and what can be done to protect and best serve them. And so they decide to go to Moab. To leave the land was a fearful thing that they've done here, because the land was God's land given to these people. And they were making a very public statement, leaving the land. They were in effect leaving God. So it's a very significant thing that they're doing. But it is made worse by the fact that they were not only leaving the land, but they were going to the land of Moab. The people that were the enemies of God's people. There are many warnings down through the Bible in earlier books telling them specifically not to associate or not to go to Moab. And yet that's the very place they went to. As we said earlier, there is that low spirituality amongst them. And Elimelech drinks of that cup. And he adopts the same approach and strategy. And he goes to the country of Moab. And because of the way in which they went without asking any guidance, all the expectations that they had, all the hopes that they held on to as they went of surviving and of prospering, they were all broken, unfulfilled. Naomi herself tells us at the end of 10 years, I went out full. And that gives us some indication that they were resourceful and they were well off. You don't go on a long journey like they did in these days without having something backing you up. But this, she says, I went out full, but God has brought me back empty. None of their plans worked out. All that they were hoping for was broken and left in the land of Moab. Her comfort had gone. She had lost her husband. The resources that she had, they were exhausted. The hopes for the future that she held on to, they were shattered. She had no family. And for 10 long years, they were there. A long time with nothing. And to lose whatever they had. But the last word had not been spoken. The last post had not yet been played. There is now a new dimension opening up. God's grace has come to bless the land of Israel 10 years down the road. God's own goodness is poured out upon the land of Bethlehem. And again, it lives up to its name, the house of bread. And there is blessing in Bethlehem. And Naomi in the land of Moab hears about it. And so she is concerned now to return home. She returns. But as she goes back, she realizes what it's going to mean for the two daughters-in-law. They both start out with her, but she stops them. And there, in verse 9, we read, she kissed them. They lifted up their voice. That's a time of prayer. And they all wept together. They had come to the point, a crucial point. Why will you go with me? A testing point. And notice the way in which the test fell out. They both wept, they all cried, they all prayed. But there, when it came to the decisive moment of stepping any further near the land of promise, Orpah went back. A hopeful start, perhaps, but she didn't continue. She went back. And testing comes sooner or later on a crush, a young follower, and us all as we listen to the gospel. Testings do come. They come in different ways and different forms and from different directions. But the end is always the same. we're tested in our resolve and in our dedication to God. We're tested in our commitment and our attachment to God. And that's what we see here brightly in the life of Ruth. She was the one that survived, and she's the one that now keeps going. So let us this morning look at the testimony of Ruth as it's given to us here. She stands out in stark contrast with her other daughter-in-law, or her sister-in-law rather. She stands in stark contrast with Orpah, who turned and went back. She speaks of that commitment she has to the Lord. These words, this profession, which is often admired, these words which are often used in so many different other situations where a commitment is looked for and to be expressed. But let's take these as a spiritual commitment that Ruth makes to her God. And it's like a flower in full bloom in the wilderness. Circumstances aren't going well for her. It's poor soil and it's a hot, dry wind. There's little to encourage her in her Christian profession and in her Christian progress. All that she had, think of this, all that she had was Naomi. And what Naomi herself was telling her about God and his plans and his people. That's all the spiritual input to the life of Ruth. And even Naomi, as she was speaking, wasn't at the best and at the height of her life. She was going through difficulties herself. She was suffering a loss and she was seeing her resources being depleted. She was going through troubles times herself. And yet, often it's in these hostile circumstances. Often it's in these circumstances when we're struggling, when we're finding it hard. Often it's in these circumstances when things are difficult for us, like they were for Ruth and Naomi. It's in these circumstances that the lasting impressions are often made. When the wind is in your face and the sun is in your face and days are going well for you, these are days of comfort and ease. But when you've got to put your head down into the wind and into the rain and still keep going, that tells a much more vivid lesson and creates a much deeper impression. It tells us of our commitment. It speaks of where our loyalty lies. It's the difference, if I can put it simply like this, if you light a candle in the middle of the daytime, it's not really noticed all that much. But if you've got a black and dark and a bleak night, and then you light the candle, that candle and its light is seen much more brightly and is noticed much more quickly than the one that is lit through the daytime. So therefore, here we have the testimony of Naomi speaking and sharing with Ruth. And I want to think of three simple thoughts about the testimony that Ruth gives us. First of all, she tells us about her position. Verse 14, Ruth clave to her. It's a word that is very strong and very intense. It means she stuck like a limpet. It's a word that comes out of deep personal relationships. It's the kind of word that is used to describe the relationship between a husband and wife. a man and a woman. It's that deep and intense commitment. That's the position she was in. She was sticking to God. And this, after all, is the kind of response that we look for and find in the gospel. When people are aware of God's grace to them. When we are aware of what God has done for us. Way back in the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 10 and verse 20, this very same word is used to describe the relationship that God looks for in his people. That they would clave, that they would cling, that they would stick by him. And the context of Deuteronomy chapter 10, all you do is go into chapter 11. And there it's describing the way in which God brought them out of Egypt. The way in which he saved them and redeemed them. And the way in which he did it with a stretched out arm, with a great power and might. The way in which there was nothing going for them. But God did this to them. And on the basis of that amazing display of his power, this is what he's looking for, that they would stick by him. So it is here with Ruth. Ruth sticks to the Lord. She clings to him. Conscious of what he has done. Conscious of what he is. She has been told about God's wonderful works. We've been singing about it in these opening psalms, especially of Psalm 98. There we have Naomi telling of God's wonderful things in the past. And as she spoke, no doubt, Ruth was captivated because it was something completely new and so amazing to her. That God would think of people and bring so rich a blessing to them. That's the response then from her to these good things that God has done and spoken of. The gospel that we have is a gospel that has a logic all of its own. A gospel that has a logic all of its own. This is what God has done for us. This is what he's done for us in his love, in his loving kindness. God has done this for us in his mercy and in his grace. This, therefore, is what God requires from us. The same kind of reaction as Ruth had. Look at what he's done. Look at the extent of the work of salvation, Jesus Christ, his Son. Look at the tremendous provision he's made and the promises that he's given. Time and again, just like Naomi spoke with Ruth and spoke and shared with her, so with ourselves. How often has God come beside us in services? How often has God come to us in different places and God has brought home to us vividly the things that he's done, and he's brought to our minds the gospel teaching, and he's broken open to us the message of salvation. Time and again, God has spoken with us. How therefore have we responded to it? Has our inner life been touched? Have we been affected in the way we think and the way we live? What is our position on the spiritual road this morning? Ruth, a stranger. Somebody who had little knowledge and little experience. She puts us to shame because she was told just a little from the mouth of Naomi. But look at the effect it had on her. She clave to the Lord. Not only her position then, but notice also her profession. I will go with you. Whether you go, I will go. This is her profession. She is willing to share her future. She's willing to go and travel with Naomi. She's prepared to go back to Israel, to her home, and she's prepared to go there with all that it involves and means for her. What a tremendous affirmation we have from Ruth. She's got nothing to gain, and she's got a lot to lose. She's going amongst a foreign people. She's going to be isolated amongst them. They're going to look upon her, certainly with suspicion. Maybe even looking upon her as an enemy. She is putting her life on the line. She's becoming a pilgrim with no prospects and no promises. All that is before her is perhaps poverty and hardship. But she's going because of one single important factor. She is going with God. That is at the very center of her life and all that she's deciding to do now. I will go because of the presence of God with her. We've said it already that Naomi, when she was out from Bethlehem and in Moab, spiritual life wasn't all that high with her. But through all the developments that she experienced and all the hardships that came upon her, she perhaps was learning also. And through all of her learning, as we said, she was speaking and she was sharing with Ruth, telling of the wonderful deeds, telling about the great things of her God, telling the story of the Lord with a deep personal interest, telling the story of God, not as a story out of a book, but telling the story about God from her own perspective, her own point of view, out of attractive, out of appreciation of what God had been to them as a nation and a people. There was again coming upon Naomi. Maybe she was cold and a little bit afar off when she came into the land of Moab, but there she was taught and God dealt with her, as we've hinted at already. And with the reviving of her own spirit and her own life, she spoke and she shared. And that news and that story, and especially the way in which it had an effect on Naomi, that captivated Ruth. That drew her to the Lord. And surely there we have something as an example for us to follow. Paul tells us that we are living epistles. That means that, we've used this illustration before, we are like a book on a shelf in a library. The library is composed of so many books, so many different people in life. And someone comes along and takes the book off the shelf and they thumb through the pages and they look at what it's saying inside. People will thumb through our lives. And they might do it just on a very brief and a very short occasion. We are living epistles then. And in that brief and vital moments, in these times when they are reading us just for a moment, it's so important that we create and that we give a good impression. It is so important that in that moment that we convey something, as Naomi did, of the Lord her God. Not only that, but as we've already said also, she was in a very difficult position. She didn't have much going for her. She didn't have much resources left. She was in a very unsympathetic society and position. And perhaps she thought, well, what can I do? There's so little opportunity for me to speak. There's so little effect that I can bring about or I can change things. The opportunities weren't great for her. But when we are at our lowest, sometimes when we feel just like giving in and giving up and going away, sometimes when we feel that, well, what's the point? It's so hard and it's so difficult. When circumstances are against us and everything is going against us, sometimes that's when we're most effective. Like the light, the candle, in a dark place. That's sometimes the time the Lord uses to bring home a spiritual lesson. When you go to the example of, say, Paul in chapter 1 of Philippians, he speaks there about what was happening. Some people were going around and they were preaching and they were speaking because Paul was in some way handicapped. He was laid low, or he was frustrated, or he was sidelined just for a little time. Something taking him out of the scene and out of the work. And people were going about filling the gap, preaching, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt Paul would have thought, well, what's the point? Why is this happening to me? And when he was at his lowest, other people were going out and doing the work. The same with Moses in Exodus chapter 18 and his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses, there he was away out in the wilderness. He was out of Egypt. He was isolated. He was lonely. He was possibly thinking to himself, what can I do out here? I've got no witness. I've got nowhere to go, no one to speak to. But he could speak to Jethro. He spoke to his father-in-law. And the astonishing and the amazing effect on Jethro of what he was hearing, just from one person at his lowest, and yet sharing the gospel with him. Naomi, at her lowest, sharing with Ruth. And the effect on Ruth, she was going. Her position, her profession. Sometimes the wave can indeed fatten us. Sometimes the storms of life can flatten us to the ground. But Ruth came up, still holding on, and still prepared to go on. If we can trust the Lord, and this is important surely for us, if we can trust God when we're in difficulties, when we're in testing times, if we can trust God when we're in a corner and we've got nothing else going for us, when we can trust God when everything seems to be falling apart, go to Psalm 46. God is my refuge and my strength. There he is speaking about these very things when this world is cracking up and falling down. When we can trust God then, in these circumstances, then we can trust him also in our comfortable days when things are going well for us. Her position, her profession, her persuasion. Your God, my God. There was this resolve, there was this steadfastness upon her. She was determined and convinced and convicted that God was her God. It wasn't a second-hand faith. There was nothing impulsive, there was nothing sudden or emotional about what she was saying. There was something rather that was gripping her soul. The things that Naomi had told her about what God is and what God was doing. That's the fact, that's the foundation for her faith. Your God is my God because of who he is and what he's doing. There wasn't anything emotional or sentimental about it. But there was that simple, quiet conviction in her. Not from something the rest of the family had said. Not something that her parents had handed down to us. Not something we've got out of our society or the expectations of others round about us. It's not something from outside us. This is something from deep inside me and Ruth. And what about you? My God. That personal commitment. That personal attachment to God. She had heard. She had weighed everything up. And she made that commitment. Your God, and all you've told me about your God. Your God, my God. She put her faith and her trust in the Almighty. Oh yes, the life of Naomi was difficult. We can see so many different things in her life, the way in which God was judging her, the way in which God was correcting her, the way in which God was molding her and bringing her back to where she should have been. The spiritual life of Naomi was low, but the period of exile in Moab was a lesson for her, bringing her back. But here was Ruth also, trusting and relying upon the same God. Who were they trusting in? Naomi brings it out very significantly. In verse 21, the Almighty hath afflicted me. Yes, the Almighty. The God of power and might had brought her into the land of Moab and had dealt with her there and had refined her and purified her. And now with tatters, bankrupt, not necessarily bankrupt, but without resources, she's coming back empty. Empty, yes, of physical things. But she was coming back the stronger spiritually because of what she's been through. God, the Almighty God, that's the one that dealt with Naomi. But this is also the one that Ruth trusts in. God Almighty. If you go to the experience of Abraham, he was given a promise of having a child. And the years were going on and nothing was happening. And circumstances were pointing more and more against it ever happening at all to him. And eventually it came to the place where on a human analysis, we would have said, well, it's over, it's past, it's not going to happen for you, Abraham. Every kind of avenue was closed and the doors were slamming in his face. But it was the Lord, and it's the same word here, it was the Lord Almighty that had made the promise to Abraham, and it was God Almighty that fulfilled it in his old age, a helpless situation. But God brought blessing to him. The God he trusted in. That's the God that Ruth trusted in. Nothing was too hard for him. Despite all the 10 years, despite all the years when things were going against them, here they are lifting their eyes. And lifting their voice to God. And Ruth is prepared to follow the Lord, no matter where that brings her. She sees with the eye of faith, and she speaks with the voice of faith. We are called to do the same. We're called to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. and to place our lives with the same degree of commitment as she did and shows us, to place our lives in the hands of our God. All of our life, the whole of our days, from this time onward, in his hands. A challenge for our souls. A challenge for us today. We're not all that different from the days of Judges. We're living today in a day of small things spiritually. There's not much spiritual encouragement going for us. There's not great meetings taking place. There's not many revivals happening. There's not many being saved round about us in our land. There's not a great spiritual wave taking place. We're like her. But remember, we've been told things. And we've been shown things. And we know things. It's a day of small things. But are we committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? And the things we know about him, that he saves and that he redeems. Can we speak like Ruth spoke? The barriers that come and the obstacles that come in our way. Will you go with me? And the obstacles and the barriers that come. Entreat me not to return from following after thee. Where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people, my people, thy God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death part thee and me. Are we committed to the Saviour? These words, they're full of human emotion, they're full of human pathos. Can we speak like Ruth? But let's focus first and foremost on the spiritual content of them, of Ruth's commitment to follow the Lord. And notice especially verse 18 as we close. When Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking to her. There's nothing more that needs to be said. The matter has been cast. The resolve of heart and soul and life has been made and said. Ruth is following the Lord. End of story. And what about us? Have we got that same commitment? Have we got that same dedication? Nothing more needs to be said about us. The resolve, is it in us? Is that dedication, is that commitment with us? Following and echoing the words of Ruth. Your God, my God. Your people, my people. You go, I go. And there will I be buried. A simple, personal, vivid challenge to us all about our commitment, challenging us where we are with the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God and Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we bless thee for the way in which thou hast given to us these words to challenge us and to speak to us. We thank thee, Lord, for the way in which in flesh and blood examples thou dost bring home to us our need and thou dost speak to us where we are. So, Lord, may we be able to reflect upon thy word. May we take it to ourselves this morning. And may this thy word, may it come to us and may it find an echo in our hearts. Like Ruth of old, may we devote and commit ourselves unto thee. Lord, in thy grace, may it be so with us. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake and his glory. Amen.